Father, I pray that you are with us now. Help us to understand your word, to be challenged by your word, to be encouraged by it, and to apply it to our lives for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'm sure everyone here has had to count down to some big event, be it a football grand final, a 40th birthday party, the next Star Wars film, the next iPhone release, or to a wedding day. As a young child, I used to love counting down the days to Christmas. I loved the preparations that were made, the carol services at church, at school, and at the nursing home, the preparation when we were hosting our extended family that year, the putting up of the tree. I loved the advent calendars, especially those with chocolates in. Although, come to think of it, the chocolate seemed to disappear before we kids could sample it. I loved the night before, final wrapping, trying to guess what the shapes were under the tree. Yes, I did shake, rattle, and roll my presents. Also trying to stay up to catch Dad, putting out any last-minute special presents. I loved the anticipation of the day, wondering what I would receive. Wondering how others would react to that gift that I had specially chosen for them, often months in advance. Despite not knowing all the specifics that would happen on that day, there were definite certainties for me. Firstly, the certainty that that day would come. And secondly, certain preparation would have to be made every year to get ready for that special day. And so, as a child, I counted down the days to Christmas. I counted down the days by preparing for that day and by knowing with certainty that day would come. When we turn to 2 Peter chapter 3 today, we'll hopefully see that there are definite certainties. There is a certain truth. The day of the Lord will come. The day of the Lord will come. By knowing this certainty, how should we count down? How should we be preparing? Whilst counting down the days, how are we to live? Knowing that that day of the Lord is coming should shape the way we live now. Our passage this morning urges us. It urges us to remember the certain truth that we have been taught, to remember why we live the way we live. It urges us to be shaped by the truth, nothing else. But our passage also urges us to action. It urges us to live lives by this truth. Hopefully we'll remember the big idea of this passage today. We are shaped by the truth to live by the truth. We are shaped by the truth. That is, we are shaped by God's word to live by God's word. As Adam said, please have your Bibles open at 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 1. And you should also have received an outline in the bulletin, which could be useful to you. So let's get into it. So far, Peter has reminded his readers in this letter of certain truth in uncertain times. He has reminded them of the rich welcome that awaits the believer in heaven. He has warned them to pay attention to what God says in his word, the Bible, in both the Old Testament and the New Testament. Peter has cautioned his readers to be aware of what they buy, and he has urged them to know the cost of lustful desires. In chapter 3, he continues to remind his readers of certain truth in uncertain times. 2 Peter 3, verse 1 says, "Dear friends, this is now my second letter to you. I have written both of them as reminders to stimulate you to wholesome thinking." I have written both of them as reminders to stimulate you to wholesome thinking. Peter says it's his second letter to them. Now, most Christians take it that 1 Peter was the first letter. But please note, the purpose which is clearly stated in verse 1, both letters are reminders. And both letters are to stimulate the reader to wholesome thinking or to stirring up their sincere mind. Peter's helpful purpose in this verse should focus his readers not on the false teachers that we've heard about in chapter 2, not on their methods or arguments, but rather his readers should be focused. We should also be focused on something better, on having our minds stirred up by the truths of Christ. Peter says in verse 2, I want you to recall the words spoken in the past by the holy prophets and the command given by our Lord and Savior through your apostles. Peter wants us to remember the truth of the Old Testament, to remember the truth of the New Testament, to remember the truth that Jesus brought, to remember why we live the way we live. We need to pay attention to the Old Testament and to the New Testament, as it is the Word of God. The command of Jesus here in verse 2 is a similar way of describing what Jesus called in Matthew 28, verse 20, everything I have commanded you. We need to pay attention to the whole Christian message that Jesus taught and is taught in the whole of Scripture. Are we recalling this? Are we recalling the message of salvation in Jesus? Are we recalling it often? Are we familiar with Scripture? Especially in the context of counting down to the day of our Lord. Are we recalling our Lord's message? And are we being shaped by it? We are shaped by the truth to live by the truth. We are shaped by the Scriptures, both Old Testament and New Testament, to live by them. We are never to move beyond the essence of Christianity, which is Christ, as described in both the Old and New Testament. Peter urges us to never lose sight of Christ, to never lose sight of the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We are shaped by the truth about Christ, as stated in the Old Testament and New Testament. We are shaped by this to live for Him and by Him. As Adam has been telling us, we need to be objects of Scripture. The grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus is why we live the way we live. And yes, it is easy to be distracted from these things, this truth, in these uncertain times. It's easy to forget. And that is why Peter keeps reminding his readers. I don't know about you, but I can be forgetful sometimes. When I arrived at the airport this year to go to Fiji, I realized as I was going through customs that I'd forgotten something. Something very important, especially for my roommate. I'd forgotten my deodorant. You know, the non-scented one that is hard to get in a Sydney supermarket, let alone in a foreign country. Then there was the time when I forgot to get my passport stamped whilst in the East African country of Uganda, whilst leaving it to go into Rwanda. For a brief period of time, I was stuck in no man's land, with no legal rights, with heavy armoured Rwandan army officials looking down on me. And yes, there was this year when I forgot. It's not a good idea to wear one's wedding ring in the ocean, especially when one is passing round a rugby ball. Sadly, not even the GoPro could find it. Yes, the world out there will try and get us to forget. It will try and get you to forget God's certain truth about Jesus and His grace. It will try and get you to stop reminding the next generation about the certain truth about Jesus, about the knowledge and grace of our Lord. Over the years, I've sadly seen many people sidetracked. Sidetracked by consumerism, sidetracked by suffering, sidetracked by the worries of this world, sidetracked by good works, sidetracked by the prophecies about the end times, even sidetracked by Christian ministry itself. I urge you to remember this truth. Nothing is a substitute for Christ Himself and His Word. By knowing the certainty, how should we count down? How should we prepare for that final day? Will you allow Peter's certain truth, his reminder, to regularly stir up your mind to these excellent things? Will you feed upon the Old Testament and the New Testament message about our Lord and Savior? Will you read the Old Testament and New Testament often to be able to feed upon this truth? How often do you pick up your Bible? Or how often do you listen to it? Is the footy too more important? Are people more important? Are things more important? Are you being the object of Scripture? Are you recalling why you live the way you live? And are you being shaped by this? Will you be shaped by God's Word, to live by God's Word? 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 3, now brings us to certain people who are sidetracked, certain people who have taken their focus off the truth about Jesus. Verse 3 and 4 tell us, above all, you must understand that in the last days, scoffers will come, scoffing and following their own evil desires. They will say, where is this coming he promised? Ever since our ancestors died, everything goes on as it has since the beginning of creation. It is clear that if we heed Peter's encouragement in verses 1 and 2 to be shaped by knowing the truth, we will be prepared for, and even more so, we will in fact expect scoffers like these ones described in verses 3 and 4. Be assured that in the last days, scoffers will come. By the last days, Peter means the period between Jesus' first and second coming. Be assured, during this time, Christians will share their lives with those who mock, scoff, and ridicule God and His people. They will be there. They'll be there at school, at university, on work sites, at the footy, at the bowling club, maybe even at home. Note that these mockers will be following their own evil desires, and they will ridicule the idea that Jesus will return. They will say, where is this coming he promised? Their reasoning? Ever since our ancestors died, everything goes on as it has since the beginning of creation. For them, since Jesus has not returned yet, he will never return. They say that it has been proved by observation that nature is not subject to God intervening and judging. Please note, you can be correct about a great many things without suffering. Like, who would have ever doubted the Sharks winning their first ever grand final? Or the True Green and Gold winning at altitude again? But, to be wrong about the living God, as I've heard it said, Jesus is the wrong person to be wrong about. Jesus is the wrong person to be wrong about. You might not be a scoffer outwardly, but if you have not yet trusted in the truth that Jesus is the only way to God, can I urge you to do that? To do that as soon as possible, before the day of the Lord comes. At the cross is where, if you trust in Jesus, he took all your sin. All your sin. Past, present, and future on his shoulders, so that you can have the gift of eternal life. The gift of a relationship with the living God forever. Remember this truth you have been taught. When you trust in Jesus, you are right with God. When you trust in Jesus, you are right with the God of the universe. And this means he holds nothing against you. You are forgiven in his eyes, spotless, blameless, pure. However, if one keeps rejecting Jesus' sacrifice for sins at the cross, that is to reject the only sacrifice for sins. There is no other sacrifice if one rejects this one. What is left on the day our Lord returns is then not love, but wrath. Please be shaped by the truth now, before it is too late, before that day arrives. The scoffer believes that everything goes on as it has since the beginning of creation. Therefore, they argue one should not believe in God and not believe that he'll judge, nor believe that Jesus will return in power. For them, things go on as they always have. But to have confidence in this idea, one has to be sure. One has to be sure that one has not missed something from the past. You see, the scoffers do not just miss something, but rather they deliberately forget something. As Peter puts it in verses 5 to 7 of this chapter, but they deliberately forget that long ago by God's word, the heavens came into being and the earth was formed out of water and by water. By these waters, also the world of that time was deluged and destroyed. By the same word, the present heavens and earth are reserved for fire, being kept for the day of judgment and destruction of the ungodly. The important thing they have forgotten is God's word. They have forgotten this important truth. By God's word, the heavens existed and the earth was formed. Just as the water created and destroyed, so too the word that created declares that the earth will be destroyed. According to this word, God has unfinished business. History teaches us that God does act, and his word tells us that he will act again for the judgment and the destruction of the ungodly. The sun will not be mocked forever, Psalm 2. The fire, unquenchable fire, Luke 3:17, will surely devastate the world as we know it. The flood's purge of sin is temporary. The fire, however, will lead to the permanent, ultimate, promised land for God's people, a new heaven and a new earth where righteousness dwells, 2 Peter 3:13. Does knowing this truth shape your life now? We are shaped by God's word to live by God's word. By knowing this certainty, how should we count down? How should we be preparing? Knowing that the day of the Lord is coming should shape the way we live now. Are you as certain as Peter that a comprehensive, devastating judgment is coming? How does that destructive fire influence the way you view material possessions? How does that destructive fire influence the way you view the urgency of the gospel? How might that fire shape you now? Does it urge you into action now to remove the rubbish from your thinking, to remove the unwholesomeness from your behavior, preparing for that day. This truth, this certain truth, should shape us into action. We're shaped by God's word to live by God's word. Last month, I farewelled my ancient history class of 2016. In their last week, I asked a few of them how they were feeling. Some of them commented that their time at school had flown by, whilst others commented that they felt it was so long and that time kept dragging on. Despite it being the same amount of time, people had different views on it. It's like when I asked my kids, "When was the last time you went to Nana's house?" Emma, my six-year-old, might say that it was 2 weeks ago. Kate, my four-year-old, would possibly say it was a long time ago. Victoria, my almost three-year-old, would most likely say it was yesterday. And Joel, well, he's 6 months and he cannot speak yet, but if he could, he'd probably say it was the last time that he got fed. All of them have a different perspective on time. We all have our own perspective on time, and it can be hard to try and consider someone else's perspective. However, with the Lord, time must be seen on a different scale. Does God feel he is taking too long to act? Is God frustrated by delays holding up his plans? Did God intend Jesus to return in power shortly after his ascension, but has had to postpone it due to technical difficulties? We are foolish if we forget his grandeur while considering what God may or may not do. Make no mistake, history teaches us that God can and will act decisively to judge and renew the earth. And if we think he is taking too long, then we need to consider what God does from an eternal perspective, rather than from our finite perspective. If Jesus returns in 10,000 years, is that a long time for God? Hardly. God does not feel the passing of time like we do, nor is he restrained by it. In verse 8, Peter is quoting from Moses' prayer of Psalm 90, where Moses rejoices that for the everlasting God, 1,000 years in your sight are like a day that has just gone by, or like a watch in the night. We cannot assess the likelihood of Jesus' return on the basis of what feels to us like a long or long enough time. Indeed, God has a reason for holding heaven's door open longer. Did you see it? Did you spot it in verse 9? Verse 9 tells us, "The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance." Each day there is a flow of people entering the ark of Christ's salvation while the door remains open. Repentant sinners find salvation because God is patiently, daily, drawing his people in. Slow? No. Patient? Certainly. By knowing the certainty, how should we count down the days? How should we be preparing? How should we be living? Knowing that the day of the Lord is coming and that he is patiently holding the door open till that day, it should shape the way we live now. Rather than complaining about the delay, or even worse, thinking Christ will not return at all, we should be gratefully, urgently using every opportunity to proclaim Jesus, to proclaim repentance for the forgiveness of sins, to proclaim his grace, using every opportunity to tell people about Jesus. Are we doing that? Are we inviting people to events that we have on, like the men's night coming up? Are we talking to people at work or at home? Are we recalling why we live the way we live? Are we being shaped by this? We're shaped by the truth to live by God's truth. When I think of my teenage years growing up in South Africa, I remember many things. But one thing always comes back to me. The night we had an intruder on our roof trying to break in. I remember that night as if it was last night. Waking up with scratching in the roof and torchlights shining through my window. It was the lights of the police trying to catch the intruder. They never did. But if we had known the time when the thief was going to try and break in, we would have rung the police earlier and we would have been prepared in waiting. Jesus pointed out the certain truth in the Gospels, and now Peter here is pointing it out in verse 10. No one knows or can predict when Jesus will return. Any attempt to do so is at best misguided, and at worst such attempts stubbornly defy God's clear statement that the timing of Christ's return is not predictable to anyone, except the Father, of course. However, there are three certain truths here in verse 10 that are made known to us. Firstly, the day of the Lord will certainly come. Verse 10 tells us, but the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar. The elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything done in it will be laid bare. The day of the Lord will certainly come. Secondly, we can be certain that on that day, the judgment will be comprehensive like no other. The heavens will disappear with a roar. The elements will be destroyed by fire. And thirdly, not only will the earth be laid bare, exposed, or more literally found or found out, but more importantly for us, we can be certain that on that day, everything done on earth in history will be exposed. When Jesus returns to judge on the day of the Lord, nothing will be hidden, nor will any historical activity be overlooked, as he, with absolute knowledge and absolute power, enacts justice. Perfect justice will prevail on that day. All evil will be removed. Verse 10 has both assurance and warning. The day of the Lord will come. But that awesome day should inspire us to live with godly fear. As Psalm 34, verses 7 to 9 tell us, the angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him, and he delivers them. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the one who takes refuge in him. Fear the Lord, you, his holy people, for those who fear him lack nothing. Are you being shaped by the certain truths in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 10? Whilst counting down the days to that day, how are you living? Knowing that the day of the Lord is coming should shape the way we live now. Are you ready for that day to arrive? In a world that dismisses such warnings, are our minds, our speech, crystal clear about these coming events? We're shaped by the truth to live by the truth. In uncertain times, remember, there is certain truth. The day of the Lord will come. The day of the Lord will come. By knowing the certainty, how should we count down? How should we prepare? Whilst counting down the days, how are you living? Knowing that the day of the Lord is coming should shape the way we live now. Our passage this morning urges us to remember. It urges us to remember the certain truth that we've been taught in Scripture, to remember both the Old Testament and the New Testament, to remember the certain truth about Jesus, to remember the certain truth about the day of the Lord, to remember why we live the way we live. But our passage also urges us. It urges us into action. It urges us to live lives shaped by this truth now. We're shaped by God's word to live by God's word. Pray about this. Pray about it often, that God will help us by His Spirit to be shaped by His word and to live by His word. Remember, dear friends, the Lord is not slow in keeping His promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come.